You are mighty, Lord. Powerful. We have no understanding of your greatness, Lord, in many ways. And yet, Lord, you count no equality with the Father, Jesus. You came and dwell with us. Became one of us. To give us hope, to give us salvation, to give us, Lord, restoration. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that understanding of your mercy. And Lord, it'll take an eternity to worship you, to know you, to experience you, Lord. And even there, Lord, we will not know what it is that you are made of, Lord. You are powerful and mighty. So we pray for greater and greater revelations and manifestations, Lord, of your character and attributes to us, Lord. Give us wisdom, Lord, and understanding continually. We pray to you, Lord. We come to you in reverence, Lord, in humility. We need you, Lord. We need your mighty hand in our midst. Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Guide us as we continue to worship you and give you praise. Amen. 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 You may be seated this morning as we continue. I want to take a moment here to introduce to you Dawn Barden, and we want to pray for her. So, Dawn, if you come on over here. Dawn has been coming to our church for a few years, and she is heading to a mission trip. And we want to take some time to just pray for her and let the Lord guide her. So why don't you just introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you, who you are, and how long you've been coming to church so that somebody don't know you.
Well, good morning, everyone. I am Dawn Barden, and I usually have my sidekick, Alyssa, with me. Most of you know my special needs daughter. And she actually went to visit Grandma and got COVID, so she wasn't able to come back and be here today. So I will be picking her up next week as we head out back out to Uganda. But we have been coming to church here from the spring since 2009. And so this spring we sold our home finally in Colorado Springs, and so now we're here full time. So pray, well, when we're home. So this is now home base. And so my story is at 19, I really had a desire to go to Uganda. And, you know, God didn't open the door then. Well, not to Uganda, to Africa. And 35 years later, God opened the door. Went for the first time in 2013. And then in 2018, God called me back again. And so it's been over 4 years that we've been serving there. And we reach out and we come alongside 12 single mothers and widows who have 43 children. And so we started out teaching business skills and just sustainability skills, empowering them with a business so that they could take care of their families. Well, the beginning of this year, after some training and actually bringing in some Ugandans to help with business training last year, they shared with us that many of these women will never be able to come out of poverty because their needs are just so great. And so it was kind of disheartening, but I just went to our staff and I said, okay, you know what? God is just bigger than that. And so we're just going to pray that God would show us a way. And so he has been opening doors. And one of the things that I really have a burden for is to find business and income and support inside of Uganda instead of bringing it from America. Because if I'm gone, there's nothing there. And so God has opened a door for us to have a bridal shop, which you'll be able to see in the picture there. And so that's going to help run the ministry and help. Hopefully we have a water project. We got very sick in March. And so because of that, God opened the door for clean water in our entire compound. So we'll be able to start selling that to the community, hopefully schools and businesses. Let's see, I said several things last night. But anyway, it is amazing. It is wonderful. We have, you know, like I said, 12 women that we are, you know, just coming alongside of, helping them to see their gifts and their talents and know that God has a plan for them right there where we're at. And so part of poverty alleviation is called asset development. And so that is being able to see the gifts and talents of those that are in our circle. So it's not like a soup kitchen where we stand behind and we serve, but it's more like a potluck where we see and identify the gifts of those in the community and then raise them up to help take care of themselves and their communities. Mm-hmm. And so that's really what our burden is.
Praise God. So what would be the biggest need, as you shared last night, for us to pray for you?
Yes. Well, last night I did share that, you know, honestly, wisdom, because poverty alleviation is just really not easy. It is so hard to go and see the need, and all you want to do is fix it, and you just want to give. But that's not really the best thing. And so, you know, just wisdom to know when to give, what to give, how to give, when to step back and not give. But then also, as I was sharing with some afterwards, you know, because the needs are so great, people are knocking at my door at 7 in the morning. I live where I work, and staff loves to come 2 hours early, and I'm up on my veranda, you know, trying to have my time with the Lord. And they're constantly, Mom, 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 we need this. They call you Mom. And so just really that when I go back, that our Bible studies would not be interrupted by the needs, that my quiet time would not be interrupted by the needs. You preached on it last night. We need the Word to help us through temptations and through discouragement. And oftentimes at 7 in the morning, they're knocking on my door, and I'm like, I'm just sitting down to start. So I would just really love prayer that God would just protect and guard and help me guard, especially our time with the Lord, because more than they need me or anything, they need Jesus. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not full, I have learned that about every 6 to 8 weeks, I just have got to go away for 2 days just to refresh, because I just get tired. And so, you know, just wisdom, and that God would just really guard my time with Him.
Praise God.
Amen.
Well, let's pray for Dawn this morning, as she is getting ready to leave and stay there for close to probably 6 months with Talisa.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Father, we want to pray for Dawn this morning. And Lord, the fields are ready for the harvest, Lord. They are white. And we see it, Lord, through these pictures, the need. But not just the physical and material need, Lord. We see the spiritual need around us too, Lord. And in many ways, Lord, we want to be able to be there spiritually, physically, Lord, emotionally, to share the truth, to bring light of the gospel, Lord, to encourage people, to train, to disciple. And I pray for Dawn that as she heads to Africa, Lord, that you would protect her. Her transportation, her trip, Lord, the details of this traveling. And Lord, also for the finances, Lord, the provision. We pray for that. We pray for health, for protection in her health and Elisa's health, Lord. We pray that your hand will be guiding her in every step of the way, Lord. And as she is there, that she would focus, Lord, to teach, to lead, to share the gospel with these women, Lord, and to alleviate, Lord, some of the needs that they have. Lord, give her wisdom and direction and discernment in the needs and what to do, Lord, where to go and how to handle herself in the midst of those needs, Lord. And allow her to remember, Lord, that you are the one who provide, and what you ordain, you will sustain. But at the same time, Lord, those things in areas that you don't provide, you may have a different way to provide. For a different purpose and plan. So I pray for her. Lord, give her conviction and assurance of faith continually. In your mighty name, Jesus, we thank you for her. Guard her, Lord. Guide her. Thank you for Elisa. Protect her. Heal her, Lord. In your mighty name, we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you.
Praise
much.
God. Let's stand up and worship with one more song as we go to the Word of God this morning. Praise God. How many of you know that we have a powerful, powerful God? Amen? And His is the victory. Amen? In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the problem, God is powerful. Let's just bow our heads and pray for a moment. Father, allow us to experience your power. to acknowledge your grace, your favor, to realize who we are in you, Lord, to appropriate your blessings, your resources in our lives, Lord, for the work that you have called us, Lord. Lord, open our minds to your scripture. Allow us to stand firm in the knowledge of your word, Lord, in the power of your spirit, Lord, in the identity that we have as born-again Christians, Lord, in your mighty name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you, Melissa. And the big crowd here, worship team this morning. Amen. Bob is right. The group in the stage is bigger than the group down there. What's going on, right? I want to invite you to go to Mark chapter 14 this morning. Mark chapter 14. We're going to take another look, another shot at this passage of Jesus praying in Gethsemane, and look at the temptation of Jesus at this point in time, and then also the way to handle it. We look at, if you've been here in the last two Sundays, and this is the third Sunday that I kind of share from this passage, we look at Peter and his self-reliance, the mistake of relying on our own strength to overcome temptation. His confidence proved to be wrong, as you know. And then last week, we look at Jesus' agony as he was tested, but also tempted. And we're going to learn that temptation and testing is the same word. Now, in this agony, Jesus suffered. He suffered emotionally, even physically, spiritually. But he went through this suffering in a humble way. He surrendered. And when he surrendered, he gave it all to the Father, knowing that God was able to lift him up, find another way for him to go at this, or give him the strength to overcome and go through the trial. Now, there was one aspect that we look about the victory of Jesus, and this is the passion. The passion that was ahead of him to save people and also to please the Father. Today we're going to look again at agony and victory in temptation. And let me just read it in verse 32 through verse 39 here, 38. They went to a place called Gethsemane, as you know, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with them Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch." Going a little farther, he fell on the ground. He prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Let me read that verse again. Verse 38. "Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Now, as we focus on this verse, let's look at Jesus' way of victory in temptation. How does he go to get to victory? How does he accomplish victory in his life through this temptation? And this is a great teaching for us today, for we are in a battle. How many of you know that we are in a battle, a spiritual battle continually? And in this battle, we face temptation. Now, how often do you find yourself in temptation? How often? How many times a day? How many times a week? How many times in an hour? What are your temptations? What are the sources of temptation? Where does temptation come from? Consider this for a moment. When you are tempted, what is going on in your brain, in your heart, in your emotions? Is it the devil? Is it God tempting you? Is it your flesh? Is it people around you? Is it the world in which we live? Are you completely safe from temptation in your own life? If you go in Christianity for 20, 30, 40 years, are you better off to overcome temptation? Just some of the things we want to learn today. And when we look at this, you know, I think, Lord, how do we deal with temptation? And why is important for me to overcome temptation? Why? Is temptation something simple? I mean, God knows what I am made of, and He's not going to give me a bigger temptation than what I can handle. We're going to see this. But if I fell in temptation, God is good. He forgives me. Is there a purpose for me to avoid temptation? And why is that necessary? Just for a moment here, I'm going to read a passage. It's not in your notes, but I want you to listen at Paul in Ephesians. He says, I testify that you must not longer walk as the Gentiles do. And he goes on to say, futility of mind, darkening understanding, apart from the life of God, because of the ignorance in them. And then he goes on to say, this is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about Him and were taught in Him, the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self. Now you are engaged in a battle for holiness, for consecration, a battle where sin matters. Galatians says, do not be deceived. Whatever man sows, that he will reap. Amen? God cannot be mocked. We are to abstain from sin. And it says this sin belongs to the former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, deceitful temptations that are going to lead us to live as we used to live in the past. Now it says, to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor. Speak the truth. How many times are you tempted to lie a day? To exaggerate the truth? Somebody wrote in a book that I'm reading, he said, there's been a study and most people lie an average of 200 times a day. I thought, wow, that's a lot. 200 times a day? That is a lot. Now, be angry and do not sin. How many times are you angry and you're tempted to sin? Let me just get it right here. Let me just tell you how I feel about this. That's a temptation. Continues to say here, do not let the sun go down on your anger. How many times you go to bed angry? Wake up angry in the morning because you let it fester there. And give no opportunity to the devil in the temptation. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in it. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that he may give grace to those who hear. How many times you just let go in anger and use language that is not healthy, edifying, graceful to the hearers? It says here also, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you. Criticism, judging, condemning other people, along with all malice. You may be not saying it, but you're thinking it. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. These are temptations that we face every day. Right? Am I the only one? No? Okay. Well, I'm glad. Okay? I'm glad. I don't feel so bad now. Now, let's go back to the temptation. First of all, let us understand temptation is allowed by God. It's allowed by God. Every Christian will be tempted. God allows temptation to test our character. Now, He does not tempt us. We're going to look at this. But He allows it to test our character. The funny thing is, temptation and test in the Greek, in the original, is the same word. So how do I know if I'm being tested or I'm being tempted? Well, temptation is a place where God has allowed me to go to, the path where temptation is going to face me, But God is not bringing that temptation. Satan or the circumstances bring that temptation. Maybe the world, maybe peer pressure around me. Maybe my own selfishness is just looking and finding temptations. Now I may go by the side of temptation and not be susceptible to it, not enter, because we saw the word of Jesus and he said, pray, be watchful and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Temptation is there. The problem is when you enter temptation, there is a choice right there. So God allows it. Sometimes the devil brings it, but sometimes not necessarily the temptation is there because Satan brought it. Sometimes it's just the temptation of our own flesh. Now, the problem is when I choose to commit or to compromise my convictions, that's when I enter into temptation and that's when I made a mistake. And the test of my character failed. Temptation is allowed by God to test our character, to prove our faith. To prove our faith to who? To who? To the Lord? To others? To myself? Am I really a Christian, right? Have you noticed that when you fell in temptation, the biggest attack in your life is, maybe I'm not a follower of Christ. And that's the attack of the enemy too. If you were a Christian, you wouldn't be doing this. How can you claim to be a Christian? You're a fool. You're a phony. You're not a Christian. See, prove our faith. Also to develop our identity. The more we overcome temptation, the stronger and the more confident we are going to be in the Lord, who we are. And then, ultimately, every one of these areas in temptation reveal what is in our hearts. And this is very important. We're going to look at this later. I mean, I'm promising a lot here, but we don't know what's in our hearts very often. Do you realize that? Until we face temptation. What we're capable of, but also the power that we have in God to overcome temptation. And let me just go through some examples here. This is very important, I think, for us to see temptation. Jesus was allowed to be tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Now, he overcame the test. We'll see this. But in Matthew 4, 1, it says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Who led Jesus into the wilderness? The Spirit. Why? To be tempted by the devil. Now you look at this, some people may not agree with this, but this is what it says. And the devil is a real figure, a real person, real being, who is challenging Jesus, the Son of God. Now Peter fell into temptation when he relied on his flesh. That temptation, there was a test that was coming. In fact, he was warned of the test. In Luke 22:31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you. You're going to be tested. He's going to present a temptation. And God is allowing you to go to this test. Satan can do anything in regard to tempt us if God forbids him, right? But God is going to allow it because God wants to test. And look at the role here. God is allowing it, but Satan is the one who's tempting him. And Peter is going to be either entering into temptation or he's going to say, you know what? I know him. He's my Lord. I am his disciple. And let the chips fall wherever they fall. But he chooses to enter into temptation by denying the Lord. By saying, I do not know these men. And cursing on himself. Now, God knew he was going to fall. And in fact, Jesus says, I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. Faith is very important in the midst of temptation. And when you have turned again, strengthen your brothers. Now, I look at this and Peter had no idea how capable he was of denying the Lord. Now let's go to another illustration. Abraham was tested to demonstrate his devotion to God. Genesis 22, 1 and 2. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, here I am. And he said, God, in verse 2, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Now Abraham walked for 3 days, took his servants, his donkey, the wood. He went up to the mount. He walked up with Isaac his son, and every moment of this time he was tested. Now, it is funny that when he raised his hand with the dagger in his hand and he was about to kill Isaac, the voice of the Lord says, "Stop, stop, for I know you fear the Lord. I know." Now, didn't God know that before? Didn't he know that before? He did. So why would God allow this 3-day journey? I mean, not in a bus or a limousine. He went on a donkey walking 3 days. And I bet every moment Abraham is thinking, am I really going to do this? Is God really asking me this? This is my only son. If I lose him, where is my descendants going to come from? God has promised he's going to bless me like the stars with family. But God was trying to reveal something to Abraham. In fact, in 2 Chronicles 32:31, we see the story of Hezekiah, who was tested, and then it says he was left to himself to reveal the condition of his heart. Look in verse 31. So in the matter of the invoice of the princess of Babylon, who had been sent to him to inquire about the sign that had been done in the land, God left them to himself. How many of you know that left to ourselves, we have no hope? We have. It doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian, okay? If you're left to yourself, you will fall into temptation. Now, he was left to himself, and then he says right here, in order to test them and to know all that was in his heart. Again, God knew what was in Hezekiah's heart. And so sometimes what God does is he reveals the areas where we need to be on guard. We're always, as Christians, we're always engaged in a battle. We're always on check. And we need to be firm continually and be sober-minded. But if we don't understand the temptation, the enticement of temptation, and the areas where we have sin or where we have susceptibility to sin, Satan is going to come and get us. And maybe our own flesh is just going to lead us to the wrong place. Now, when God tests us, our faith is on trial, but he will never tempt us with evil, for he is good. Let me read in James 1:12-15. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Now, sometimes this trial goes on day and night, day and night. Just the battle continually. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he's tempted, I am being tempted by God. So God doesn't tempt, he tests. But yet God allows the temptation because he wants to test you. It's funny that this word can be interchanged here. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial or under test or under temptation. Now, God is not the one who's tempting. So how do I know if it is a temptation or a test? I need to look at the circumstances around it. But when I am entering in an area where I know that I'm being tempted, God is allowing that test as a test to my life, as a trial to my life, to reveal what's in my heart, to test my faith, to produce in me character, to grow my identity. Now, God is not the one who's tempting because God is not evil. Satan is tempting. My flesh is being tempted. Now, it says there, no one should say that God is tempting him, for God cannot be tempted with evil and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. God allows it. The devil sometimes brings circumstances, the world again, but I choose to enter by that enticing that exists in my own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's fully grown, brings forth death. Now, why do I enter into temptation? Because I compromise my convictions out of the desires of the flesh. And let us just remember there are different sources of temptation. I see this. Sometimes it's peer pressure, sometimes it's the devil, sometimes it's the world, and then my own flesh. But God is not the source of that temptation. Now, why would God allow testing and temptation? Why? Every Christian's faith will be tested. Amen? You see it in the scripture. Look in James 1 through 2 through 4. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. How many of you want to be complete? Do you want everything that God has for you in your life? God is going to test you. God is going to allow temptation to come your way. For then you would be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Now, many of us, as I said before, we don't know what's in us. In fact, I find this in my own life, and I want to be honest on this. There were areas in my life that I would always say, I will never do something like that. Never. In fact, I was completely confident that I will not commit sins in my life. And when the temptation came, I realized I was not strong. Now, another area of this is, not when I realized I had a problem there, but another area is, sometimes we don't know how much or what are the resources we have in Christ until the temptation comes. When we face temptation, when we face the enemy, that's when we get strong, and not by our own strength, but we get strong because, oh, I realize who I am in Christ. Amen? Because left to myself, I can do nothing. But in the strength of the Lord, when God is allowing the test to go beyond my strength, then I am able to have victory in proportion to the help and resources that are available for me in Christ Jesus. So, temptation is going to show me what I'm capable of, but also the strength that I have in Christ, the resources and ability. And so that's why we have to be tested. Now let's go to the second point here. Temptation is to be resisted. And I'm going to mention four areas of this resistance. And the last one I'm going to make a bigger point. But how do we resist temptation? I mean, if we have a battle going on in our minds, how do we resist temptation? It's a question here. How do you resist temptation in your life? Somebody said something? Prayer? The Word? Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Okay? Now, I used to think, if I'm just strong enough... Have you ever thought that as a Christian? If I'm just strong enough, I will be able to overcome it. And the problem is that works when you're humble and you're just a new Christian, right? Because you know that you're not strong enough. So you're always kind of, Lord, please help me because I'm not strong enough, right? But then when the years go by, 10, 15 years, now you think you're strong enough. You're still weak, right? But you think you're strong enough because look at all the achievements you have as a Christian. And the reality is that's when you're more susceptible to sin. Because now you're trusting on your own. Let's go back to Peter. You're not relying on the Lord. And when we look at these, yes, these are ways for us to resist temptation. And I want to look at some of these because through God's grace, He's going to give us the power to overcome temptation. But victory is only assured through a real relationship with God. In fact, I want to tell you something. According to what we're seeing here, someone who's not a Christian, he does not have a chance. Amen? If going back to Ephesians 4 where I was reading, this is not the way you have learned Christ, if indeed Christ is in you. If indeed Christ is in you. Now, as you're quoting, we walk in the flesh, but we're not waging war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are powerful to destroy strongholds in our life and to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Now, if I don't have those resources of the Spirit, because I'm not in the Spirit, Romans chapter 8 says, if Christ is in you, then you are walking in the Spirit, and the Spirit is directing you. But if Christ is not in you, you don't have it in you to overcome temptation. Now, let me stop right there and make a little parenthesis. So how come people in the world, governments, leaders, presidents, how come they achieve so much and avoid temptation? I believe there is a providence of grace for the world in general? God is restricting or restraining sin in the world to some extent. I believe that. But you know, you can see that they have no moral. They have no real... I mean, even the reason why they do it is not for God's reasons. They do it because their image, power, you know. But if you really look close enough, they don't have a chance to overcome temptation. They have the areas that they don't touch, but then everything else is allowed in their own world, as long as people don't find out. Now, for Christians, we're talking about a serious battle where we want to overcome temptation. Now, let me say something else. Christ's followers are promised victory in temptation. Look in 1 Corinthians 10:12 through 13. Let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to men. Now, see, the temptation is there, but you have not entered into that temptation. In some ways, it's pushing you. But be of courage, because look what it says next. God is faithful. Now, God is not faithful to everyone in the world. God is faithful to His people. And He will not let you Christians be tempted beyond your ability. So there is providence of God here. In fact, not only providence, there is protection in the midst of the temptation, the faithfulness of God. And yes, this is a process. Lord, why would you allow this process to temptation, for temptation to be close to me, and yet, at the same time, you're saying this temptation is something that is common to men. And then it says, what with the temptation and the providence of God, He will also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So God is giving us direction. That means we have a relationship with the Lord. We know what He's doing. And then we're able to endure it, to go through the process and finally overcome. So there is a process. Now, we see some things here that tell us how to resist temptation. Just in that verse right there. Understanding the purpose, the sovereign plan of God in temptation. There is a plan. And when God tempts us, when God allows us to be tempted, excuse me, even though we may not understand it, God's purpose is always there. Amen? Amen? God always has a greater purpose than what we think. Always. And so, He's going to allow it. He's faithful. So He's not abandoning you. For me, the thing is, when I'm resisting temptation in all the ways that you mentioned, and we're going to look at some of these, when I resist temptation in every way possible that I know from the Bible, and yet the temptation is not gone, let me tell you what happens to me. I get discouraged. How many of you get discouraged in the midst of temptation? Lord, I mean, if you were with me, I wouldn't be facing this. The identity, the Christian identity is attacked right away. But not only this, sometimes I may have security in my identity, but one problem is the place of my call. I know I'm a Christian. I know you are in me, Lord, but maybe I am in the wrong place. Have you ever been there? Discouragement because of the temptation, the trial not going away, the testing. You're still, you're enduring. You're going through the Word. You're praying. Maybe you are looking for people to help you. You're worshiping. Somebody last night was saying through worship. Somebody was saying through relationship with other brothers and sisters. Yes, all these things help. But let me tell you something. When the test continues and seems to be that you're enduring and enduring and you have no strength and you're almost giving up, sometimes the question is, am I really doing what God wants me to be doing? Is this the place where God called me to serve? Discouragement. Now, let's look at the hope of God in that verse. He will provide a way of escape. He will provide a way of escape. That's the providence of God. So, temptation, let me look at one aspect, and you mentioned it, is to be resisted through the Word of God. Look in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. And this is something very important for us that we need to maintain before our eyes. There is so much here in this passage, but we'll take a glance. When Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, He was hungry. So He was in a position that He was weaker. Physically, obviously. Spiritually, He was going to be tempted too. And the tempter came and said to Him, "If you are the Son of God." I mean, right in that line, I was just again this morning going through it and thinking the many attacks of Satan through one line. If. He's not saying because you are. No, no. If. I mean, put it in question right there. His identity. But also, put it in question his power. Put it in question his understanding and discernment. He's questioning everything right there. If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread. Questioning what he's able or not able to do. I mean, what is wrong with him? And then Jesus says, it is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, if it was me who was tempting Jesus, but Satan knew he had no chance, I would have said, but what's wrong with eating? And sometimes that's out of my own temptation. See, my own desire, my own flesh, my own argument. When we argue with Satan or in our own mind, we get nowhere. But Jesus focusedly, boldly, he says one verse, and then the devil took him to the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. So now Satan is quoting the word of God too. And Jesus said to him again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to test. That means I should not be testing the Father in what I do, even though he's promising to take care of me. But Satan, you have no reason to be testing me because I am God. Now let's go again. The devil took him to a very high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, just boldly, I mean, he says, all this I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, and look at the strength of the Lord right here. Be gone, Satan. Be gone. And then he says, for it is written. Not because I say so, not because I am the Son of God. No, be gone, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. I am going to worship the Father. And in fact, you should worship me. That's your job. So be gone. Now, we look at this temptation and Christ goes to the Word of God all the time. And I look at this and we must build the biblical defense to overcome the tempter in our lives. You, in every temptation, in every trial, every circumstance in your life, the Word of God has the answer. Amen? You know something that and I want to say this. I mean, I learned this from some of you, but how amazing is the faithfulness of God? It doesn't matter what I'm dealing with in my own life. Have you noticed that when you go to the Word of God, God speaks to you? Now, you may be reading in Proverbs, in Psalms, the Gospels, Genesis. God's faithfulness through His Word is always there. And whatever I'm dealing with, God is going to speak to me. The Word of God is alive. It's alive. It's powerful. And reads my mind, but also gives me direction. It discerns my thoughts and my abilities. So go to the Word of God. Use the Word of God as a shield of protection against temptation. Let me look at another one. Temptation is to be resisted through faith and endurance. Now, these are two things. So the Word of God we saw, then now faith, but also as we continue in faith, we need to endure. And we read in James 1:12, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Yes, you trust in the Lord, but you're going to continue steadfast in perseverance. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. So we stand in faith and we remain in that faithfulness until God does something else with the situation. Because God has promised to bless us, to grow us every time we overcome temptation. And to know that is very important. Also with what we were seeing, God is not going to let you to be tempted beyond your own ability. With the temptation, He's going to give you the escape, but you may have to endure it. You are going to need to endure the temptation for a while. Now, from the side of God, God is testing, remember, from the side of the enemy is attacking and saying, give up, give up, enter into temptation. Look at God, what God is doing in 1 Peter 1:5 through 7. It says, By God's power, we are being guarded through faith. So that test in which we are going to overcome by being guarded through the faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice. Though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various tests, trials, or temptations. That's the same thing. Now you are being grieved, you are being attacked, you have a lot of opposition against your life, and you're being guarded through faith. See, lift up the shield of faith, Ephesians will say. And with that shield of faith, we are able to extinguish the darts of fire that are coming from the enemy. It is through faith that we're standing firm in the midst of the test. Now, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold and perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Look at Job. Have you seen my servant Job? God says. Satan says, well, you have provided everything for him. You blessed him. He's a rich guy. He's got everything he wants. How come? Take it away and see where he goes. And God says, do it. Now, see, Job is to be resisting the test, the trial, only through faith. Why? Job has no idea what's going on. He's completely ignorant of the test that he's enduring right now. I mean, he knows the circumstances, he sees them, but he wonders what in the world is going on. Now, what God is banking on, because he is his son, is that Job will trust God more than the devil. More than the enemies that are being used by the devil, those three friends that are not really friends, and they're questioning his faith, even his own wife. Now, Job is remaining steadfast in faith. What is the temptation for Job from Satan? In the test, the temptation from Satan is just curse God and die. God doesn't really have the best interest for you, Job. If he did, you will not be in the position where you are. But see, the faith is what is guarding us. Now, from the side of the devil in 1 Peter 5:8 through 11, and it warns us, be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Now, I learned this from Pastor Doug. He shared this in a message a few years ago. He said, sometimes Satan will camp for 40 years in the grassland, waiting for the right opportunity. He's there like a roaring lion, but sometimes he's not roaring. Sometimes he's just quietly waiting for us to make a mistake, for the right opportunity. And he's seeking someone to devour. So be watchful. Be sober-minded. And then he says, resist them. So we're talking how to resist in the faith. Resist them firm in your faith. Knowing that the same kinds of sufferings are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Amen. So God is allowing it. Satan is going to use an opportunity for you to cave in. We look at the importance of prayer to resist temptation, the importance of faith, and the importance of perseverance, endurance. Now, let me go to the number four, and it's actually a point in itself here. Temptation is overcome by prayer. And you mentioned it too, but I want to spend some time in here because this is profound in my own study. As I said, I used to think if I was just strong enough, if I'd be strong enough, if I'd be wise enough, if I had the right knowledge of the Scripture. And this is what I want to tell you right off the start here. You may have all faith. You may have all the knowledge of the Bible. You may be very strong spiritually and have the right people with you. You may be very wise. But there is areas of temptation that are not overcome but through faith. Why would I say something like this? There are areas of temptation that are only overcome through prayer. Let me give you some reasons for this, and I think that's what we learn in the passage. We're called to pray that we may not enter temptation. Jesus said, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. Now we look at the resisting, the perseverance, the faith, the Word of God, that's the watching. The one who watches, he's always relying on himself if he only watches. The one who prays, he's resting on God, but he acts like he has nothing to do. And we have a decision to make to not enter into temptation. Okay, so therefore is watch and therefore is pray. A combination of both. But now, for the most part, because we rely so much on ourselves, we only watch. And we attack the enemy, we resist them through the word and all this. But there is areas of temptation that are only overcome by prayer. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Now, and let me say three things more of this passage. We're cautioned about the evil of temptation. I read it in Ephesians. Don't cave into temptation. Pray that you not enter into that temptation. Fall in the test. Number two, we're cautioned about the means of temptation. What are the means? The flesh is weak. But also the means of temptation is when I choose to enter. So people say, well, the devil make me do it. Have you ever heard that? No, you don't enter into temptation. There is a choice. There is a compromise of conviction every time I enter into temptation. Yes. Sometimes, you know, you look at people, you counsel people, you speak to people, and they said, well, if you knew the circumstances. No, you don't understand my story. Well, yes, there is trials. I understand this. And there are decisions that people take and make, right? But in every sin, there is an element of choice in my life where I enter temptation. So the evil of temptation, the means of temptation, and we're cautioned about the preventing of that temptation. How do we do it? Watching and praying. That's the only way, according to Jesus, in the very intense moment. Therefore, he says, when you pray, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, I don't know what's ahead. And I know that I'm weak. And Lord, I fear you. And I don't want to fall into sin. Please, lead me not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil of temptation. So, not only Jesus is warning us to pray so that we not enter temptation, he prayed in the moments of temptation. God himself prayed. In the days of his flesh, he offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. He prayed in his faith, on his faith when he fell. He says, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. He prayed. Now, so we're called to pray. Jesus prayed. And also, we must pray, for we are ignorant, we are susceptible, and we are weak to temptation. Do you wake up in the morning and you say, boy, I'm going to be tempted today? Some days you do. Some days we know, right? Why? Well, I'm going to court, or I'm going to have a talk with my wife, or whatever it is. You know, I'm going to this difficult place in my life. But for the most part, we ignore when temptation is coming. And we are susceptible to that temptation and weak to it. There is something that the devil has a handle on sometimes. See, when Jesus said, the king of this world is coming against me, he said, but there is nothing in me. I always wonder about that verse. And the way I see it is, when we have areas where we are susceptible to sin, those are handles where the enemy sometimes controls us or manipulates us, okay? But Jesus had nothing where Satan could grab a hold of him. Amen? Now, we do have some issues. Temptations, addictions, wounds sometimes, bitterness, lack of forgiveness, resentment, perceptions, you know, identity issues. Well, my dad used to tell me this, so when my boss tell me this, insecurities that we're carrying. So we're susceptible and weak. Now, there are temptations that even the best saints cannot resist. Whether it's Abraham, David, but God gives us strength through prayer and in our weakness. Romans 7:18 says, I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. So even though we may be Christians for 40, 50 years, whatever it is, there are areas where we're not able to resist temptation. And then the warning is that falling to temptation could bring us back to a former state of sin. Set us back. Now you may say, well, if we're Christians, we're not going to go back to the same place. Sin destroys. And the consequences of sin sometimes are drastic, difficult. Now, whether you were not Christian, the bottom line is that that temptation really brings us, sets us back. Look in Luke 8:13. The ones on the rock are those who then, when they hear the word, receive it with joy, but these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. You've seen them. I mean, let me. Why is this so important today? We live in times when people call evil good and good evil. Amen? So the temptation is there. We live in times when, because of the increase of evilness, the love of many will grow cold. That's the temptation. Now also, these are the times of apostasy. When people claim to know God and walk with God, but they are living like the rest of the world. And we need to deal with sin in our lives. Amen? We need to deal with sin in our lives. Now, this is the amazing blessing for us this morning. God promises to rescue His people from temptation. Now, I'm not going to be rescued on my own ability from temptation. He promises to rescue His people from temptation. So therefore, I have to be in a relationship with God. Continual relationship with God. Look in 2 Peter 2:7 through 9. If He rescued, this is God, righteous Lot, greatly distressed by the sensual conduct of the wicked, for as that righteous man lived among them day after day, he was tormenting his righteous soul over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Let me tell you something. Lot was engaged in a battle in his emotions, his soul, his intellect, with the things that were going on in Sodom and Gomorrah. You go to Genesis, you don't read it there, but Peter, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, brings it out. Now, let me ask you this. Are you engaged in this battle with the world? When Paul went to Corinth, his spirit, his heart, I mean, he was grieved by the things he saw right there. How are we handling and dealing with sin and temptation in our lives? Because it's not just going on out there. It's trying to cave us in. Now, this is Lot. And look what it says right here. Over their lawless deeds that he saw and heard. Then the Lord knows how to rescue the godly from trials and to keep the unrighteous under punishment until the day of judgment. God knows how to rescue us from trials. Amen? So let's pray. You don't know what's a temptation ahead of you. Pray. God, would you allow me to not go into that temptation? Guard me from temptations that I'm not able to endure. And Lord, if it is necessary for me to go through some of these things, give me the strength and the wisdom to step up and do the right thing. Let's bow our heads and pray here. We're going to prepare our hearts for communion too. Let's just say, Lord, allow us to know who we are. Allow us to know, Lord, the resources and abilities that we have in you. Continually, Lord. There is a tension in our minds and in our hearts to give up. To stop trusting you. To doubt you. To question the evil around us. To question the involvement of Satan in the lives of the world and even in our own lives. Sometimes suffering, Lord, brings us to be tempted and to doubt your goodness for our lives. Lord, allow us to know who you are through the scriptures, but also through the power of your Holy Spirit. And that as heavy and difficult the storm is, we may be able to stand firm, to be, Lord, in you. Trusting, knowing that at the right proper moment you will provide for the way of escape. Our job, our call is to endure, to go through the process, to remember that you're faithful, that we're not being tempted beyond our own ability. You have given us all things that pertain to life and godliness in order for us to overcome sin. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. There may be someone going through a very challenging trial in his life here, Lord. Maybe all of us, Lord, in some way or another. I pray for your strength and your wisdom, for patience, for favor, Lord. Lord, we need you. This is the hour of temptation. This is when the love of many is growing cold. This is the time when Satan is coming against the church with everything. Godly marriages and godly families are being destroyed. Lord, allow us to guard ourselves from sin, Lord. In your mighty name, Jesus, we pray. And Lord, as we prepare our hearts for communion, reveal to us the power of your strength that work in you, Christ, as you were resurrected from the dead. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. I'm going to invite you to stand up and just come and grab the elements. We have gluten-free elements on the back. Once everybody's back in the pews, I'm going to lead us into communion here this morning. Yes, Lord. Lord, we thank you for the elements this morning. Thank you, Lord, for this time of communion. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to come and partake at the table, remembering that the price for sin was paid. And yes, Lord, you have given us favor and life in a new covenant so that we may shine for the glory of your name, for the praise of your name, Lord. And Lord, that people may see our good deeds and glorify your name as well and believe that you save us from sin, Lord. Thank you for this moment. Guide us through this time, Lord. It says here in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17, that Christ had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become merciful and faithful high priest in the service of people, in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. And then he says, "For because he himself has suffered when tempted." Christ suffered when he was tempted. It says, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your help and your provision. We partake this bread this morning. Thank you, Lord. Let's partake of the bread. Thank you, Lord, also for the cup. But as we do this, Lord, we remember that we are in a new covenant. A covenant of life. Newness of life has been granted to us. Bless this cup in your mighty name, Jesus. Amen. Let's partake. Let's worship the Lord with one more chorus here with this chorus as we finish this morning.